his watch and puts it on the pulpit?
Absolutely.
Exactly. Thank you. I've told that joke before. Oh, let's pray again. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the beauty of your Spirit that moves through your word to encourage and inspire and empower, to truly strengthen us. We look for that. We look for you this morning. Father, bless us in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had a temptation come on you so strongly that it surprised you? That happened to me just the other day. It was something that had tripped me up more than once in the past, and I wanted to go there. But on this particular day, by the grace of God, I didn't. And I say by the grace of God, not just because I'm a pastor and that's something that pastors say. I don't mean to sound like a pastor. What I mean is that over the years, God in his kindness has shown me something. He has shown me that if I wait, if I stand strong for just a moment, just a moment, the temptation will pass. And when it does, it's amazing if you watch that. When it does, it's as if everything changes. You get just 5 minutes down the road, and you look back, and you think, how could I have ever wanted to go down that road? Because God is at work in your heart to help you and to strengthen you. And I share this with you not as a way of saying, well, look at me, aren't I spiritual? That's not my point at all. The point is to say, look at him. Because as we look to him, we sincerely find strength that we did not know was there in the moment. He gives us strength to get us through, and our strength is only in him. And so we come to our passage today. It's right out of our two-year through the Bible reading plan. How's that going, by the way? How's that going? Are you holding up with it so far? Because if you've fallen behind, remember, we're only in February, and you can catch up. It's okay. It's okay. Just keep going. We're the gyms that say judgment-free zone. We want to be like that. But we really want to encourage you. Keep going. And, of course, this is what our text for this morning is out of, the reading in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 27. Then he, Jesus, said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God." Let's pray again. Lord, these are difficult words. They're difficult to hear. They're difficult to talk about. And we need your Spirit to lead us every step, that every motive, every thought would be from you, and that the beauty of who you are would shine forth winsomely in a way that will help us and inspire us to follow closer than ever before. In Jesus' name. Amen. So this statement from Jesus comes right after Peter's revelation that Jesus is the Messiah. Luke tells us that as soon as Peter said it, Jesus told the disciples, don't tell anyone. And there's a reason for that. Of course, the reason was that the Messiah others expected was a conquering political hero. And Jesus wasn't going there. His kingdom is much more than that. He goes on to tell how he'll be rejected by the powers that be. And then he explains that to follow him, the disciples must turn from serving themselves and take up their own cross. Now, you've got to understand how impactful that was for the disciples to hear this. Because keep in mind, they are under a brutal occupying power, the Roman power, that would crucify people at the side of the road, and it was not uncommon for them to find a rotting corpse on a cross, on a highway or byway, as they walked throughout their country. So this statement from Jesus is a radical thing. But how funny it is that it's become sort of almost easy to say those words in a nice Sunday morning sounding kind of way, you know, taking up my cross, following Jesus. That honestly really doesn't mean much. Unless we take the time to think about what's really being said here. You know, I used to think of taking up the cross of Christ and sort of this grandiose, glorious, you know, I'm down for the cause kind of way. But the truth is, crosses aren't like that. Crosses are places of ridicule. Crosses are down and dirty and painful and personal. They have nothing to do with a look at me kind of life. If you hang on to your life, Jesus said, we just read it, you will lose it. So when Jesus is talking about taking up our cross and following him, he's going after the heart of things. What it is that really motivates us, those places in our hearts where we are going to do what we want to do, because that's what our life is about. So Jesus is saying, will you follow me there? Will you give that up, that place where you want to do what you want to do? Will you give that up and walk with me? Crosses come in all shapes and sizes. Our cross could be that sin that we struggle with. Maybe we've struggled with it for years, and we wonder, oh, can I ever get over this? That cross may be that sin that you just don't want to talk about because, well, that's just the way I am. And well, after all, it's by grace I'm saved. But that's the very point in question. what's first in my heart? Or rather, who's first in my heart? Is that grace truly first in my heart? Or is it my way? Is he the longing of my heart? Even though sometimes it's a struggle, even though there are other things that vie for that first place, is he the source of life for me? Be always killing sin, John Owen warned, or it will be killing you. Meaning that we have to choose daily. When you and I are struggling with temptation, if we can say, I will carry this burden of wanting to do what is wrong, but I will not give in. I will look to him because I'm following him. Well, in that place, that's what it means to take up your cross. Because he's more. And even though it costs you that want, you affirm he is greater. After all, what did Jesus pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, not my will, right? But yours. And as we meet him that way, the beautiful thing is that he's already there to hold us up, to strengthen us in ways that we did not think possible, and we have to lean because we are so weak in and of ourselves. But if we turn to him and lean into him in his presence, in the sweetness of his spirit, he sets us free. There's a freedom that comes in acknowledging our weakness and saying, Lord, I can't do this without you. But it's amazing how when we turn to him in that moment and we let him into that place where we would rather go our own way, how much it helps. But of course, pride and self-will are always right there, right? That's why Jesus reminds us in verse 25, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? Jesus clarified this in another place in Matthew 16:26 when he said, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Daily, you and I face matters of eternal consequence as we live on this earth. But the nature of our adversary, the devil, and just the nature of being human is that you and I want to stay so focused right on the here and now. Pride can be so subtle, it can be so alluring, and self-focus will suck us in if we're not careful. I mean, think about how social media has become such a phenomenon. Or just, here's another example from another generation. Listen to the lyrics of this popular song. And sometimes when you just say the lyrics of a song, you know, the song takes on a whole new appearance. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. And I'd just like to ask you, how would you like to say this to God right before you're ready, right before you go to him? And now the end is near, And so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do. I saw it through without exception. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Now, yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. How do you do that? I faced it all, and I stood tall and did it my way. Really? I mean, really? I mean, I don't want to be too hard on poor Frank Sinatra. That song was popular, right? And people are sitting in their 58 Chevy or whatever, and it's like, you know, oh, yeah, I mean, that's I'm at. But weigh it against what Jesus is saying here. My way or God's way? Could that be where Jesus is going when he says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you? I mean, hard words, but there's an objective reality to them. If we turn inward on ourselves, how can we turn to him? How can we let him in? The cry of our hearts has to be, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, save me. But even after saying these hard words, Jesus, and this we must not miss, points winsomely to the reality of what is coming. When he says in verse 27, I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God. What he's doing there is he's referring directly to the event which Luke shows us happens immediately afterwards, which is the transfiguration. And they see Jesus transformed and the kingdom of God touching earth. And it's as if Jesus is pointing to this and just in this way saying, please, you don't want to miss this. It's too good to miss. Follow me. Yes, you have to take up your cross, but oh, it's worth it. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How do you be strong in grace? Well, you love God for it. You live in that place. It was said, I'm trying to think, was it J.B. Phillips who said a Christian should be a hallelujah from head to foot? It is that place of recognizing, I may be a mess, but I'm God's mess. He loves me, and because he loves me and loved me first, oh, I may have these places where I still have to deal. I've still got to struggle. But he is stronger. And so I will look to him. And I will cling to him. Because what is coming as I follow him is so much better than my way. It means freedom from myself. And slowly but surely by his grace, really genuinely getting stronger. I'm not the same man I once was, right? We find that. He helps us. Now, not that we don't have other areas where we'll struggle. Sanctification is at work within us all of our lives, and that's why, if we don't think that's true, the Holy Spirit will show you, But oh, He wants us to live in His love. He wants us to agree with Him about our need to be saved so that we can be lost in His love increasingly. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up, one of the things that is important about Valentine's Day, who was Valentine? He was a priest. And he was a priest who broke the law by doing marriages when the Roman Empire didn't want marriages made because they needed their young men to fight, and they didn't want them to have the allegiances on the home front to keep them from being better soldiers. And Valentine was obeying the word of God and taking up his cross and saying, this is what is foremost in my life, following Jesus. So I will marry these who believe in him. Our Savior loves us. Our Savior puts our feet on a better path that comes out in a beautiful place, no matter how hard the road has been. And when we get there, you know, to say, I did it his way. Oh, that'll be a very good song to sing. May we pray. Lord, thank you for calling us to love you, to walk humbly with you, to turn from those places where we want to go our own way. Lord, we know there are also crosses of other kinds. In our culture, sometimes it is increasingly difficult to be a Christian. And we think of those in other places who are facing persecution just for what they believe. But we thank you, Lord, that you have promised, I am with you always. And because you are Emmanuel, God with us, we rest in you right now. And we thank you, there is no better place to be. And we affirm by faith, yes, yes, your way is best, because you are good. And if there's anyone in the sound of my voice this morning who maybe has been away, or maybe you've never come to that place of believing in him, and somehow you just feel drawn to him this morning, that is his Spirit at work. Again, his word tells us that we love because he first loved us. And you need to know that, how deeply and dearly you are loved. And you can come to him with a simple, heartfelt prayer that says, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. And I know it won't always be easy, but my way has made a mess of things enough in my life for me to see. I want your way. And I ask, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for my self-will. And help me to learn how to love you and to walk with you. I receive you as my Savior. Save me, Lord. God's word tells us whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We come to you by faith. And thank you, Lord, for your perfect love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Paige and Jarek, would you lead us? Something to be grasped, but took on the form of a human. Imagine the humility that it takes for that. I mean, the one who speaks the stars into existence, let there be light, to then become as you and me, someone who bleeds. Jesus took bread and broke it and said, this is my body, broken for you. Take, eat. And then he picked up the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant, the new agreement with God in my blood. All of you, drink of it." And Scripture says, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we show forth the Lord's death until he comes. Why does that matter? Because he's given us everything. The eternal, almighty God, entirely self-sufficient, needs nothing, but in his goodness chooses to love, chooses to meet you and me, and love us to himself. And that's the beautiful thing about the Christian faith that is different from every other religion. Every other religion says you have to earn this. You can only earn it this way. Christianity says no, you don't earn it. It is a gift. You receive the gift, and then you follow. Jesus came as God's gift. And we, as we receive him, it's amazing. You and I have his spirit. Scripture tells us that our lives are hidden in Christ with God. So the reality that is to come of being in heaven, somehow that's already at work in us. It's this amazing thing. So as we come to this table, we come as people who know where we're going, but still are on the way. We're saved by grace, but because it is grace, we recognize we have to humble ourselves. And so as we come to this table, we encourage you, hey, if there's a place in your life where you're singing, "I did it my way," this isn't the day to come to this table. You need to talk that over with him first. But if you can be in that place of saying, "Lord, I want to do it my way. I affirm that, but please help me. I want your way more. I want your help." If you can do that, and you can pray, "Lord, change my heart. Come, don't hold back. Run to him." Lord, bless us as we come to this table. Set apart everything that we're about to truly be of you, your spirit at work, to bless your people, to strengthen them, to save the lost. Thank you for your love that will never let us go. In Jesus' name. And this morning, Jarek, if you wouldn't mind just playing, we'll just whatever you like, we'll go ahead and have Jarek play, and we'll just keep the mic on, folks. So please come as the Lord leads.